Carter Page is our author. The book is Abuse and Power, How an Innocent American Was Framed in an Attempted Coup Against the President. I appreciate you being with us this morning. Virtually everyone caught up in this thing is a victim in one way or another. And I think, you know, people know the name Flynn. It has gotten so much more play, largely because they actually went after him. They prosecuted him. Whereas, best I can tell, your purpose that you served was to be an unwilling Trojan horse. It was just a way to get into the Trump campaign. Is that a fair assessment and how you see it?
Well, thanks a lot for having me, Nick, and it's great to be with you. You know, I think the reason you don't know my name is I think you're generally along, you're on the right path, right? You know, everything they did to me was just to, you know, it's part of the attempted coup to take out President Donald J. Trump. And starting in the very beginning in the campaign in the summer of 2016, you know, they start this big, what's now known, you know, in the mainstream media as Spygate, right, where they sent a bunch of spies to come after me. And, you know, I think, as you correctly noted, General Flynn and, you know, a few other people. But it just created so much damage to so many people. But I think you definitely have it right that, you know, it was largely my name was rewritten to fit a mainstream media narrative that was completely false.
And we're going to go over some of this, but just to put it in context of what's been going on in the last several days for the listeners, they've heard of this arrest and the guilty plea from an ex-FBI or ex-FBI attorney. And that was in regards to you. And this is where you had, I'm going to try and dumb this down as best as possible, and you can correct me if I'm wrong in some of this. One of the ways that they convinced, if you will, the FISA court to allow you to be spied on was to claim that you had contacts with Russia at some point in your background. Now, you were doing that on behalf of the CIA. But what this ex-FBI individual did is he altered the email to claim there was an email in there that indicated this, to take that out, to say, no, you weren't working on behalf of the CIA, because obviously, you know, that would make for an obvious answer. Well, this is why he was doing it. He was doing it for our country. But he altered that, and that's what he ended up pleading guilty to. And is that an accurate way to present that?
Yeah, you know, and I think you're definitely on the right track again, Nick. But I think really what's particularly interesting about this big breaking news that, you know, as you say, it was just coming to the forefront of the national attention yesterday, is that, you know, people have been waiting for so long. And I know you have Sean Hannity on your KSGF later, and he's been covering this since the very beginning and really digging deep with the whole Hannity ensemble. And, you know, what he has long said, what Sean frequently says is, this is going to be a boomerang, right? These people, I think exactly as along the lines of what you were saying, Nick, they were trying to get something done to take out, you know, the president, and using me as a foil, if you will. And everyone's been waiting, and, you know, Sean always talks about the boomerang, right? And unfortunately, we've been waiting for a boomerang where, you know, the Democrats direct so much negative energy and so many lies against President Trump, and it's all going to come back and hit them. It's going to really be do terrible damage to them. And, you know, Sean's been saying that for the last couple of years, and we've all been patiently waiting. But I think what happened last Friday with the initial charging document, the what's known as an information memorandum filed in the Washington, D.C. District Court, is really the start of that process. There has been so much of a lack of justice, and I think people have been waiting for a little bit of recognition of the truth and reality. And so this is really just the first step. So I think in general, I talk about this a lot in my book, Abuse and Power. But I think, you know, this is really just setting the stage at this turning point in national history where our country has been through so much, so many lies in MSNBC and CNN and all the big news outlets, you know, the sort of mainstream media outlets. And now it's finally the record is just, you know, we're at the very beginning of this starting to be set straight. So it's great to be with you down in Springfield there, you know, really at this turning point, I think, in national history. And I'm particularly excited because the timing for this book serendipitously turns out pretty
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I was going to say it doesn't hurt at all to have that coming into play. Now, I want to, as we talk with Carter Page, his book, Abuse and Power, Author of the Week, a lot of people, I think, would be shocked to realize that you haven't even, if I'm correct in this, you've never even met Donald Trump. Is that correct?
Never in my life. And, you know, what's particularly interesting about that, Nick, it speaks to, and people, you know, I mean, you know, if you listen to any of the DNC last night, they always, you know, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Kamala Harris, they all portray President Trump as egotistical or very self-centered. And what's so ironic about that is even though I never met him and even though so much damage was done to him personally and I never was able to contribute to anything in terms of his campaign, he has still just fought for the restoration of justice after our country has just been literally terrorized over the last several years with just so much, so many lies, et cetera. So it's really extraordinary.
I've got two more questions. I know you're very busy as we talk with Carter Page, his book, Abuse and Power. One, obviously the whole situation has to be surreal anyhow, but the fact that it's happening in this country is just, it's devastating, I think, to a lot of folks who never thought they'd see the country come to this. But I'm asking a question I'm sure there's not really an answer to that you can actually translate what it is like. Here you are, an American. I mean, you're a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy, successful business person. You end up, you know, kind of working on this campaign, not in a capacity where you even meet the candidate or still to this day have met Donald Trump. Yet all of a sudden you realize that you are being treated and presented as if you're some sort of go-between, perhaps, between the Russians and Trump, and creating this imagery in the minds of people are attempting to, like, you're flying back and forth to the Kremlin, and here you're a guy, you haven't even met President Trump. I mean, that has got, I'm just curious, when did you begin to realize that this is what was happening in your world, and what was that like?
Well, I think, you know, that's a very long question. And I think the best place to kind of get a lot of details related to that is in chapter 4 of my book, which talks about the start of the international fugitive years, where I had long interrogations with the FBI in March of 2017. And, you know, actually, Mr. Kleinsmith, which you were just asking about a couple of minutes ago. I mean, he, you know, when I'm getting these terror threats, he was actually in touch with one of my lawyers, right? And my lawyers asked for a little bit of support just, you know, in early April of 2017, just at the very beginning of the Trump administration. And not only did he not give any support, or his colleagues at the really very corrupt FBI, which was then led by James Comey and Andy McCabe. You know, not only did he do nothing, but, you know, I think as along the lines of what you were just saying, the reason for, you know, the initial hearing yesterday in the Washington, D.C. District Court was because, you know, he basically was giving lies to a federal court. I mean, this is really high level explosive stuff, but it just, you know, again, it's a real boomerang where, you know, people are just doing the right thing and these really evil people within government are just creating so much damage, not only to myself, you know, I'm a Naval Academy grad. I've served my country for many decades already. But really, you know, it's just done so much more to our country in general. And to me, that's the greatest tragedy. But I think it underscores what needs to be done between now and the election.
Well, and that leads to the last question. I've been very, very cynical as I've watched how people on one side in particular are never held accountable. You know, there'll be hearings and there'll be outrage. But then even when we know, that's the scariest thing to me. You know, it's one thing to know what's happening, get caught and held accountable. But once people are caught and then nothing happens, that's even more frightening because it's essentially giving permission to the corrupt. But do you think others will be held accountable in a meaningful way?
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting, Nick, because I talk a lot about those frustrations in chapter 8 of my book, Abuse and Power. And, you know, I have felt firsthand, you know, being at the on the front lines of this battle for the last several years, you know, unknown figure until this all blew up, you know, as paid for by the DNC. But by the same token, I think what's happening now, and I get into this more in the following chapter, chapter 9, is, again, it's as we discussed and as your Fox colleague Sean Hannity has been predicting for years, a boomerang is coming. And I'm greatly excited for this very first initial step, which happened last Friday. And I have to say, to your point, Nick, there really has been a lack, you know, a complete lack of trust for very good reasons, given these crimes that we're now seeing come to the fore. And unfortunately, throughout these last 4 years, I have had, you know, the crime spree has continued. And there's so much more, and I you know, explain all of that in my book. But what's great about what happened Friday is there was some beginning of professionalism. And, you know, there's this rule called the Crime Victims' Rights Act, which Congress enacted for, you know, people who are crime victims. And unfortunately, DOJ has not followed that at all, despite many calls for me to follow, to, you know, have my rights, my human rights and personal rights and constitutional rights respected over the last several years. But now, Friday was the first time they started following the law. And, you know, some of the procedural steps that DOJ took were really very encouraging. So I think there's reason to have initial optimism, but I think, you know, great journalists like you in terms of exposing this and keeping the nation's attention on this, I think is essentially important just because we're up against a new election, and the DNC, as we saw again last night, was and all through this week, has been playing all the same tricks. Yeah. So I think, you know, it's really important that we start reforming this country. And I know President Trump has been doing everything in his power to do that, you know, based on everything I've seen. Again, I've never met him, but just sort of watching all of his accomplishments. But, you know, there's just so much more that our country needs to do in terms of standing up for the truth and standing up for the rule of law.
Author of the Week, sponsored by great people at ABC Books on North Glenstone. Carter Page, Abuse and Power, How an Innocent American Was Framed in an Attempted Coup Against the President. I really appreciate your time this morning. I hope you have a good rest of the day, and I really hope for you and for all of us that this works out in the name of fairness and justice. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Nick. I look forward to being back in Springfield real soon and stopping by ABC Books. I was at up in Branson a couple of months ago. So
yeah, well, absolutely. Let me know when you're going to be in town, all right?
Excellent. Will do.
All right. Thank you, sir. Carter Page, everyone. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.